You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another very thought-provoking episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob. Yes, thought-provoking indeed from the maestro.
Yes, it is going to be very thought-provoking. Today, we're going to be talking about those pesky hobbyist rules, those model aircraft rules. You may remember it as the 2012 Modernization Act, or Section 336, which protects model aircraft pilots and has led to the environment of non-compliance that we are in today. When I say non-compliance, I mean a lot of hobbyist people just going out there and doing whatever they want and like, oh, it's okay, it's a camera. Like, I bought it at Best Buy. I just buy a camera and now I use it.
Meaning flying missions that would put them under 107 as if they don't need 107.
Exactly. So today we're going to be talking about the new law, Section 344, that is meant to replace 336. Now, this law has caused quite the stir in the industry. The AMA came out prematurely and said some things that are not really true. As we tried to get the AMA on the show, we had some scheduling difficulties, and I just had to get, you know, a couple of messages out there regarding this issue. We invited quite a number of people to talk about this issue on the show, but had extreme difficulty getting anyone to talk about it in a succinct, non-passionate, aggressive way.
Well, we were actually hoping for a debate.
And we were
that
hoping
just didn't pan out, or at least it was a little bit too dangerous.
We didn't want to have the show turn into Jerry Springer. So,
well, one way to avoid that is to have people in different cities. Yeah. However,
how do you get a chant of Jerry over Skype going?
Or throw a chair from Colorado to California?
But anyway,
it's probably a way.
We're going to be talking about the in-depth rules that are coming out. Now, the House has already passed this rule. It's up to the Senate to see where it goes from here. The AMA is fighting it, but we wanted to have Vic on the show. Vic is our resident legislative expert. And by the way, he and Kenji Sugihara had actually spoken about this issue on a previous episode, but I think it kind of went over a lot of people's heads in understanding why it was so important. Essentially, what is being talked about right now is removing 336 completely, just 100% removal of 336 with new rules. What do those rules mean? Does it mean enforcement against hobbyists? Is that something we really want? Because we all know that the environment in which we operate is pretty open and free. That being said, there are more and more enforcement actions coming down the line. And even as of yesterday, the FAA released a new enforcement guidance protocol under 2150.3B, change 13. 2150, yeah, that's right, 2150.3B, change 13. He's Googling it right now.
Let us see.
Yep, I was right. So, steel trap memory. The reason this is so important is now there are very significant enforcement protocols against people who fly against the wishes of law enforcement, fire suppression, or National Forest Service, National Park Service rules. So this is really going to help people who are flying drones around forest fires that shouldn't be. And so the FAA is coming out with more and more enforcement, but that's not why we're here today. We're here today to talk about, why is 336 important? Should we remove it or not? Is this something that is going to benefit the hobbyist industry? Is this something that's going to benefit the commercial industry? Here to talk about all those things, welcome Mr. Vic Moss. All right, guys, we're here now with Vic Moss, who is going to help us understand why it actually may be beneficial to remove 336 and move into the new law, 344. I'm excited to hear this myself because I frankly haven't made up my mind. So Vic, thanks again for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Section 344 is what the House has right now with their FAA reauthorization bill, 2018 FAA reauthorization bill. And it really needs to be put through, and 336 needs to go away. And I've felt that way since the beginning, so that's not going to be news to anybody.
Why did you feel that way since the beginning?
Because it's taken away control of the safety of the National Airspace System for use with hobbyists. And it's put it in the hands of people like Dianne Feinstein and all the local rulemaking committees we've had to deal with, whether at the state, local, or the state, city, or county level.
Interesting. So if I understand what you're saying correctly, is 336 has taken away almost like the enforcement power against hobbyists.
Oh, it's taken away the enforcement power. It's taken away the rulemaking power from the FAA, and they're the ones who are tasked with keeping the NAS safe. And so if they're not allowed to do their jobs, you get people flying with that really don't know what they're doing, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
So what's the argument for removing 336? Because I know a lot of model aircraft, old, you know, the old guys are like, I don't want to remove this, man. This is not going to help us at all.
The argument that the AMA makes is pointless, and it's actually incorrect. A good example is going to be, I was doing a little research this morning, even locally, my Arvada Associated Modelers put this out. They republished the AMA email that was sent out in April of this year. And in the AMA email, it says there are currently two paths to fly legally in the U.S. under 336 or 101. If Section 336 is repealed, everyone will have to take an in-test person, pay for a remote pilot certificate, and fly under Part 107 rules. That is just a flat-out incorrect statement, and it's being repopulated again and again and again and again by AMA and their clubs. Now, I understand they're passionate about it, but they're wrong about it, too.
So,
what's going on?
So then what's the right? So what's really going on? What is 344? I mean, what are they saying that they want to do?
Okay, it's Section 344 of the 2018 House FAA reauthorization bill. Now, we need to make sure that it is, people understand it's the House, not the Senate. The Senate has not passed one yet. So we need to watch that. And that's where AMA personally, I think, ought to put their efforts. But Section 344 covers all recreational UAS. Now, when it comes to what they're going to allow the FAA to do if this passes, is basically you either fly within a CBO on CBO property, like an AMA field.
So you have to fly at a field?
No, you don't have to. You either fly at a field, or just read it real quick, you'll be required to complete an online or electronic education tutorial, only a tutorial, not a license, that focuses on primary knowledge for safe operations. And that's kind of paraphrasing a little bit. And it will also have to include a provision that will enable somebody to operate a UAS under the age of 16. It also requires, which I kind of like, it requires the hobby UAS operators to use a Lance-type system, but it also requires the FAA to develop a Lance-type system, which means they'll probably have to use Lance, which is no big deal, super simple, super easy.
In places that it's currently working. I know they're still working out the kinks and some GIS information.
There's a few kinks. But that'll be done and by the time this gets out, because this is 120 days after this passes that the FAA has to do this. The administrator of the FAA has to do this. And it also includes an operation for UAS operations in Class G airspace near airports. So there's that it has to do. But what I like and what I try to point out to people who are so dead set about fighting the FAA on 336 is that Section C is pretty specific about what the FAA cannot do. So I'm just going to read that verbatim because I think it's really important. Section C of the House FAA Reauthorization Act of 2018, Section 344, Section C, maintaining broad access to UAS technology is the title of that section. Says when issuing rules or regulations for the operation of a UAS under this section, the administrator shall not. Now that's important. The administrator shall not, and there's four things the administrator shall not do. Number one is require the pilot or operator of the UAS to obtain or hold an airman certificate. So that right there says totally opposite of what the AMA says.
So it says the FAA is not allowed to put a license on hobbyist operators.
Exactly. Now,
pretty clear cut.
In fairness, AMA, this was not out when AMA put out that either you're going to have to fly 336 or 107 if 107 might be the only way. It's not true. So that argument is null and void. And number two, require a practical flight exam, medical examination, or completion of a flight training program. Again, this is under the administrator shall not. Number three, limit such UAS operations to pre-designated fixed locations or uncontrolled airspace.
So they cannot limit hobbyist flights to fixed locations.
Cannot. And number four, they cannot. Let's go back to that. They shall not. Actually, it's not even a cannot. They shall not require airworthiness certification of any UAS operated pursuant to this section. So, and number D is kind of interesting, too. It's titled collaboration. Now, the administrator shall carry out this section in collaboration with industry and community-based organizations, plural. So what's going to happen is if this passes the Senate as worded, then the FAA administrator will be required to work with CBOs. And AMA, you know darn well, is going to be at the head of that table. And they have the right to be, because that's their goal. That's their...
Well, let's be honest here. The AMA has been around longer than the FAA.
Exactly. And I'm not an anti-AMA person, contrary to what a lot of people think. I'm actually an AMA member. So as far as the hobbyist goes, I really wish AMA would quit putting out the, oh my God, we're going to die. Nobody's going to be allowed to fly anywhere but on our fields, and everybody's going to have to get a 107. It's just totally incorrect. And what I would really love for them to do, and if AMA is somebody, the AMA board hears this, refocus your membership and tell them to get after the Senate and say, look, read the House rules, read the House Section 344 of their Reauthorization Act. Let's do that. Because it gives AMA their carve out. It gives the FAA reason and ability to help train the hobbyist. The AMA members, and this is from an old white guy. The AMA members for the most part are old white guys, and it's hard to get them to change their mind. And I am, and it's hard to get me to change my mind on certain things. But I think in this particular instance, it needs to happen. And I really wish that the AMA would refocus their commitment and refocus their members on working with the Senate. And then obviously, if the wording's not the same, then when it goes to the House, committee that fixes all this stuff, my brain's having a cramp here.
You cut out, so let me stop you really quick. Let me ask you this. A lot of people have said removing 336 would allow the FAA to enforce against hobbyists more. And some people are arguing that they don't want that. It's already too late. The FAA hasn't enforced anything. Why would this help now?
Okay, let's compare that to cars when they first came out. When cars first came out, nobody had any idea what to do with them. There were no rules. And the state governments probably had, for the most part, had to come up with rules. And those rules even came into effect past when they first came out. Let's say they've been around 3 or 4 or 5 years, and the government decided...
Which it took 4 years to get seatbelts out, if I remember.
Oh, it took longer than that. We didn't require seatbelts until the 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It took a long time for the government to realize that they needed to control automobiles. And so I kind of think the same thing is going on with the UAS community, especially the hobbyist community, where, hey, you know what? We need to get some rules put in. And so what if it's after the fact? It still needs to happen. It's not a valid argument that it's been around and so they can't be enforced.
Well, it's really interesting because it's like speed limits, right? There were no speed limits on the roads. And then for a long time, and the argument of saying, why would we give, you know, the FAA the enforcement power now is like saying, you know, why have speed limits? And because in frankness, because people will kill each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not, you know, malicious or nefarious. Nope. It's just, nope. You know, accidental. And but I think it's really interesting because when you and I had talked about this before recording the show, you had said, you know, think of it like speed limits in cars. You know, we didn't have speed limits for a long time. And then we did. And now they're enforced all the time. So, and it's probably for the best. Now, I wish they would really enforce against people who use their damn cell phones while driving instead of speed limits, because we already know from the National Transportation, what is it called? National Highway and Transportation Safety Board, NHTSA. We know now that people driving in the left lane slower than the flow of traffic actually cause more accidents than people speeding, which is fascinating. Anyway, I had to put that out there. With UAS, do you think the enforcements would increase if 344 were to go into place?
I think...
Because they're rampant right now. I mean, you and I both know there are issues abound right now.
The enforcement's rampant or the...
No, the problems are rampant.
They are rampant. And I think 344 has nothing to do with enforcement. And FAA really doesn't have anything to do with enforcement. They're the education branch. They refer things to the DOJ for enforcement. But 344 will not increase any kind of violation type things. I think it's simply giving the FAA the ability to do so. And as far as enforcements go, you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about this numerous times in the forums. All we need are a half dozen or so serious public enforcements for the worst violators. And I'm not talking about the guys who just fly a little bit over the properties of other people, I mean, or whatever. For the worst violators, both the operators and the clients, that right there would go just, it would just make,
it would make, set a precedent.
It would set a precedent, and it would also help with the, it would help people follow the rules because they realize, hey, you know what? There's a little bit of teeth to these rules now, and I really don't want to get bit.
I think it would actually really benefit some of the low-hanging fruit industries with drones, like roofing inspections and real estate, because there are so many damn realtors out there who are headstrong and buy a drone and just use it and have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And I know it's frustrating for other people. It's frustrating for me as well. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, Vic, I think that you've helped me change my mind and wow. say that, you know, I think, you know what, I'm on board with 336 going away.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rob? Come on.
I think that's what Vic said, is when he talks about it, he changes people's minds.
You changed my mind. He said it before. He's like, I'm going to use my Jedi ways.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. These are not the drones you're looking for. No. somebody had to say that. Somebody had to say that. But anyway, yeah, I think if people would just sit back, especially AMA, please, AMA, I'm begging you, AMA leadership, sit back and look at 344 with a non-passionate and a logical methodology, you will see that this is not the tiger that's going to kill you. It's not going to
pinch you. Wait, hold on a second. Didn't the AMA help write 336?
AMA, since 2008, the AMA has been on the board, or I don't even know if it's an official board, but they have helped the FAA integrate UAS into the NAS. And yes, they when 336 came out, they did tout it to their members that, hey, we helped with this. Now, I don't know if they officially helped with this or they took credit for it, but I really do believe, yeah, if they were on the committee that helped write the UAS rules starting in 2008, then, yeah, they helped craft it. Did they write it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Information, but they absolutely had input and influence.
So if I understand you correctly, just as a quick recap,
336.
336 going away says that there are two rules for hobbyist pilots, rules at the field and rules outside the field.
That is one interpretation, correct.
The FAA cannot create some sort of practical test or license for hobbyists. Rather a tutorial online just to help educate people, which makes sense. And then beyond that, 344 essentially says fly under 107, or if you're a hobbyist, you now have to get some sort of permission to fly in airspace using LANC. Is that right?
Only if it's restricted airspace, yes.
Controlled or restricted?
Or controlled. If it's under control of an airport, they would have to, okay, let me just read that. Require UAS operators within B, C, D, and E airspace to obtain authorization as the administrator may determine be necessary within that airspace. So that probably gets back to the whole E2, E3, 4, 5, 6
issue. I was just going to say that, or DOD airspace with all the new restrictions that came out 6 months ago. Oh, by the way, your video will be coming out soon on how to remove those restrictions. So, hey, well, Vic, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. I wanted to hear from you as far as the argument, because I know some staunch advocates for the other side have talked to you and really changed their mind and, I guess I'm just I'm on that train now. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Well, I guess we'll see you next time, Vic. Thanks again.
Yep. All right. Y'all have safe flights.
Okay. Bye-bye.
After all of that, Rob, what do you think? I mean, it's kind of changed my mind, in all honesty, because we have a lot of model aircraft pilots over at the field just across the street from the school. And we went and talked to them, what was it, last week? And we said, what do you think about 336? And now it's evident to me that whatever he had listened to could have been from the AMA because they were so adamant about not removing 336.
Yeah, I mean, I think folks like that, and like all of us, when generally speaking, when we get our information, we get the information that feeds our bias. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just human nature, and it's kind of the way humanity works. And so I think that's all that we were dealing with over there. And that's what I appreciate about Vic's perspective, is that it might seem like he's biased in his presentation, but I can promise you that he did not start out biased. He started out objective, evaluated all the information, and said, based on what I'm understanding, and of course, his opinion is one opinion, and it'll be interesting to see the responses to the interview, but it's hard to argue with that position for sure.
That makes sense.
It does.
It definitely makes sense. And in all honesty, you know, at first when Vic and I had, because we had a phone call yesterday about this whole thing, and I said, in all honesty, why do we want the FAA to enforce more? They're not enforcing. It's pretty free, open rein. Why do we want to give them more power to do it? Like, it seems like it's already too late. And that's when he was like, well, let's talk about cars for a second. He's like, how long do people drive cars without speed limits? And then I looked that up and I was like, oh, that's a long time. He's like, and now they enforce speed limits all the time, right? He's like, whoa, paradigm shift.
Yeah, just having a different perspective can help you appreciate the real message behind a particular law or issue or concept or perspective. So,
totally.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really curious to hear the audience's response and hear your thoughts.
Definitely.
And perhaps follow-up questions. There's a lot of questions that could come out of that interview in terms of deeper understanding of what's going on. So
yeah, if you have a question, don't be afraid to send it in, number one. And number two, don't be afraid to leave a question on our YouTube reviews. I know more and more people are watching the podcast, and that's actually fascinating to me. Everyone has their own ways of digesting content. And that being said, you know, please leave your questions below. We want to answer them. We want to see and hear your feedback. Again, thank you for some of the comments that have been left. I really appreciate them. And for those people who are saying I needed to be a little bit more humble, I'm not arguing that one. So
that's humility in and of itself to say that. So
hey, progress.
That's right.
Anyway,
we are all a work in progress.
Amen.
Every one of us.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching the show. Thank you for listening to the show. And we really appreciate you being a part of the DroneU community if you are. Again, if you haven't checked it out, you can take a look at all 33 classes, and the business course is literally on our doorstep. So all that being said, check it out. It's only $1, thedroneU.com. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.